Well, I can't imagine that we would have gotten that offertory on the beach. So thank you, Dwayne, for that gift, and thank you, Brandy, for those prayers praying us in this time. This is the fourth sermon that I'm giving from Proverbs, and if you're just joining us, Proverbs has many pearls of wisdom, but they come in different parts and sections, so it's really hard for us to just open up and read a short paragraph and have the theme of the day. So I've chosen various proverbs from throughout the book, focusing on the subject of our words and the importance of choosing them well and being careful with them. We're going to talk about the wonderful and terrible power of words this morning. And so I invite you to look in your bulletin as we've collected the scriptures together from the various chapters of Proverbs. Let's hear together God's word in these proverbs this morning. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, let your word dwell in us richly. Let us learn from this and be empowered by it in Christ's name. Amen. During World War II, when we were shipping a tremendous amount of material and then eventually men and women over to the war fronts in Europe and Japan, there were enemy submarines that were going up and down both the eastern and western seaboard. And so a common practice for enemy nations was to spy by listening to radio conversations, by reading the newspapers, and checking out when troops would be shipping out, and using that information to possibly torpedo those vulnerable transport ships. So the U.S. government had a series of posters made up just to warn people to be careful with the kind of conversations they had about when Johnny was going off to war. And one of them had a ship with its stern high in the air being sunk by a torpedo under these bold letters: "Loose lips might sink ships." Now, folklore's dropped the might, and we now just say it: loose lips sink ships. There's a powerful metaphor in that phrase, isn't there? You know, speak ill of your boss, it may not be so well for you at your review time. Let out a company secret, a huge competitive advantage could be lost. A critical word shared privately about a friend may surface and sink that friendship. Loose lips will sink ships. Well, today in the 21st century, we would not only caution people against loose lips, we would caution them against loose text messages and loose web postings, because there's all sorts of ways that our words get out there. The powers of our words and messages now go into cyberspace, and you have no way to control it and no idea how far it's gone or is going. How many people have posted things on MySpace or Facebook and gone for a job interview and found out that that was investigated and they lost that opportunity to be hired? Loose postings sink careers, we could say. Or take the recent Twitter message that came from an NFL player where he was then fined $2,500 by his team. It was Antonio Cremante, who's a cornerback for the San Diego Chargers. You know what he said that created such ire, that caused such cost to him? I'll have to edit it a bit, but basically he said this: man, we have to eat the most nasty food of any team. Darn, can't we upgrade? 4 straight years of the same stuff. Maybe that's why we can't win the Super Bowl that we need. After that tweet, all-pro linebacker of the Chargers, Sean Merriweather, posted this. By the way, I thought the food was amazing today. Without a word, the fire goes out, huh? You know, without wood, the fire goes out. Talking, texting, the power of words is still a very important theme for the human community to spend time on. Really, it hasn't changed. The power of words still shape our destinies and our lives. Just think of a few of these phrases. I hate you. I love you. I forgive you. I really owe you one for that. By the power invested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife. I now sentence you to life imprisonment. Time of death, 10:35 p.m. It's a girl. It's a boy. You'll never amount to anything. You can do anything you put your mind to. You can start work for us today. I'm sorry to say this, but you're fired. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Words make us. Words can break us. Words that so easily tumble off of our lips can have a tremendous impact, a lifetime, a destiny. There's something so profound about words that the story of the beginning of creation in our Christian faith is this. God looked out and said, "Let there be light," and light split the darkness. A spoken word from God created this world. And so this is the power of the tongue that God has created in this world. Words can wound, and words can heal. Words can rally us. Words can divide us. This is why Proverbs devoted so much material to this whole subject of speech. It's why we need to also devote our lives to harnessing that power that's in the tongue. You know, the sayings of Proverbs, of course, came in a time when it was part of an oral tradition. Their society was not as literary. There was not as much written. There was much more spoken in that time. And so, of course, the testimony of two witnesses were more important in courts than documentary evidence that we now rely so much upon. And we have moved from an oral culture to a print culture, and we're rapidly moving into a technology culture. And yet in each of those cultures, words are still used. And so how we use those words are important, even if some of the challenges to us might be new and different. I remember in the early 1990s, email was coming out of the business world into popular culture. Churches being nonprofits were slow to adopt to it, but we had it eventually, and homes had it. And from time to time, we had church members who were new Christians who would take their practices from work and apply them to the church in a very awkward and painful way. I had one individual who was part of a high-tech world, and it was part of their methodology to just sort of write flaming emails at each other as they're debating what the future direction of technology should be. And so this individual brought this practice into the church, and when he saw something that the elders decided or the church decided, he would write a flaming email and put all sorts of addresses CC'd on it without any thought of how it hurt people, accused people of things. It was almost like throwing gasoline on a fire, and this person had no clue. I remember after receiving several of these emails, I called the person up and I said, look, this is the body of Christ. We don't accuse people of things. We don't write these kind of editorials like letters to the editor. You need to be responsible with your words, and you need to be responsible with the relationships of the body of Christ. I want you to come and sit down with the people that you've hurt. I hurt someone? You see, they had no clue because they sat at a terminal and they had no feedback because the people that they were sending this about weren't going to engage in this game. They weren't going to fire back. They weren't going to be involved. So to his credit, he did sit down with people. He did learn about the power of his words. But this is the problem. Technology's removed us from the visual feedback, and we don't even realize the power of our words. Psychologists tell us that when you have a communicate a message, only 7% are the words. 38% is tone of voice. 55% is body language. If you're Mediterranean, that might be 75%. But you see how much is missing when we just think of the words that we're typing in a screen and we're not hearing the tone, we're not doing the body language. We don't have feedback. Well, there's all kinds of directions I could take this sermon, and there are so many things to talk about in the power of words. I'm going to limit myself, though, just to a few principles. And I would just say, in terms of my takeaway from these texts and what I encourage in your takeaway, are three R's that I'm going to bring up today. First of all, we need to understand we need to be completely responsible for every word we say. Christ says we'll be judged for every idle word. We're completely responsible. That's the first R, for every word we say. Every word is like a bullet launched from our mouth, and we need to understand what it hits and what its impact is. When our youngest child was entering middle school, his uncle, who was a hunter, invited to take him hunting, but he said, here's one condition. He must take hunter safety, and he must pass the course. And I thought that's a rather wise condition. And so I was kind of curious about this, so I enrolled with him, and we took hunter safety. And one thing that the instructor said, I still remember very clearly 8 years later, was this. Every bullet you fire has your name on it. And what he was trying to say is you're responsible for every shot, what it hits, intended or unintended, where it lands, intended or unintended. And that lesson he taught us to make sure that you knew exactly what your target was. If you're not sure of what's wiggling in the woods, then don't take a shot. It's not a deer. It could be your neighbor. It might be a hunter. It could be someone else out there. And he said, if you don't know what's going through the target or if you miss beyond the target, don't fire then either, because if you hit water, it ricochets. It's a flat surface. If you hit a rock, it ricochets. You don't know where it goes. And so you're responsible for every bullet you fire. The same is true with our words. We're responsible for every word we utter and every impact they have. And so saying I didn't mean it just doesn't cut it. It really does have an effect and an impact. We need to teach that. Words can build a reputation or destroy a reputation. Words can build up a person or tear down a person. Words can be true or untrue, and we need to be careful about them. Words should be few. Emails should be fewer on certain subjects. I've followed the practice for years of putting my most intense personal reactions to things in a journal. I figure if it's illegible to most people and known only to God and me, there's a chance it might stay private. That's probably the best way to deal with those words when we're cross or upset or struggling, because it helps us come to grips with what it is inside that's bothering us without another being taken into it. Because words said in private don't always stay private. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his lips guards his life. Be responsible for every word. Secondly, I would tell you from Proverbs, we need to restrain our words. Show restraint, particularly with non-complimentary thoughts, because even if they're shared in private, they don't always stay private, right? How many times have we had confidences with someone and all of a sudden that relationship broke down and those confidences now were compromised or shared? You see, the more we guard our tongues, the more we avoid gossip, the more we avoid slander, the better off things are. We need to be restrained in the use of our tongue. One Sunday this summer, after services, my wife and I decided we'd go to the beach. It was a sunny day, one of those few ones we've had on Sunday, and we went and relaxed. And I was just there to read and soak up the sun a little bit, and I wasn't paying attention to who was around me. And after a little while being there, about 8 feet in front of us, one of the two women who were there stood up, and I noticed it was a church member, so I said hi. And she said, did you hear us talking about your sermon? I said, no, not really. And she said, oh, well, you know, we were just so caught by that subject of wisdom. We've been sitting here talking about it. Now, I'm sure also her mind was playing back the tapes. Okay, what did I say? And was it complimentary? And we never know who's at the beach around us. We never know who's in the booth behind us. We never know who's on the train with us. Isn't that somewhat one of the reasons that these clubs don't want members' children being caddies or waitresses? You never know who's waiting on you and what's being said in those instances. I lived in a small town one time, and people warned me when I came to that town, Sam, you might be careful about what you say about people because you never know who's related to who. Well, that's true, but it's just good to always be careful about what we say. Be restrained in our words. Men and women who sound off are a dime a dozen. Men and women who are restrained are priceless. Dr. David Hubbard, who was president of the seminary that Pastor Brandy went to, said this about the kind of people that he looks for to be involved in the life of his seminary. In sizing up people as potential participants in the life of Fuller Seminary, whether as administrators or trustees, I observe carefully their patterns of speech. Do they wait their turn? Do they step on the lines of others? Do they have a need for the last word? Do they try to top off everyone else's stories? Do they sound off in their areas of incompetence? Can they say, I don't know? Do they repeat themselves badly or wander aimlessly through their subject matter? Persons with these and other verbal liabilities usually do not make it to my team. They're not sensitive enough. They're not succinct enough. They're not modest enough. They're not gracious enough to work well with others. They waste time. They hurt feelings. They shatter morale. They, with the rest of us, need to sit further at the wise teacher's feet and learn that restraint in communication is essential to prudent speech. Be responsible. Be restrained. Finally, I would say, and it's always easiest to be the positive, not just avoid the negative, be committed to refreshing others with words of blessing and thanksgiving. There's a life-giving power to our tongue. When you can praise people, when you can speak well into their life, when you can bless and encourage, and those of us who are older can especially do that to the younger generation, that's a very important, wonderful gift that God's given to us. You know, think about that. You don't have to be wealthy to be able to be generous with your words. Rich and poor alike can use the power of the tongue. And so God has given us that power. So how do we treat those around us who serve us? Those in the grocery stores, those in the car dealerships, those on the train, those in our buildings, those in our neighborhoods. Do we bless and thank and notice? So important and such an easy gift and such a neglected thing in this Northeast culture where we're always head down, hard forward, just not noticing those around us who are blessing, helping, encouraging. This last year, we had a member who knew that he had a sentence of death. It was cancer that was not going to have any chance of healing. And so he was putting his affairs in order, and I met with him several times, and one time he pulled out a file, and that file had a letter, 20 years old, from Pastor Ed Danks. And that letter was a word of blessing and thanks and encouragement for a kind of heroic service that this individual did at a very important time in the life of the church. And I knew that Ed was a letter writer. I've been encouraged by that. But right there again, I saw the power of a word that blesses and refreshes, particularly in writing. Because that not only meant a lot 20 years ago, that meant a lot as he's looking now and reflecting on his whole life. What were the significant contributions? Right there he had this letter from his pastor saying this. I came back and said, wow, I need to write more letters. And I probably need to type more letters so people can read them when I write them. The power of kind words chosen carefully. This week I was thinking about words a lot, and I was thinking about how children stumble upon words. And children learn the power of words before they learn their emotional impact. And I was talking to my wife. I said, what do you do with that two-year-old who you've disciplined and all of a sudden bursts forth and says, I hate you? And she said, here's the best thing I've learned, is that you take that child and you say, that's okay. I have enough love for both of us. And with those words, you heal that situation and you diffuse that anger and that emotion. God has given us the power of our words, and words refresh, and words need to be restrained. And in all that we say and do, we need to be responsible, because the scriptures tell us whatever we do in word and deed, do it unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you speak words of love and grace and blessing into our lives. Forgive us for those words we've uttered in the past that we've regretted. And teach us to forgive others who have hurt us with their words. Allow us, we pray, to learn from this that we can have life in the power of our tongue. And we pray we'd eat that wonderful fruit of giving glory to God through what we say and what we learn not to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand for a closing song.
Thank you.
just want to point out before we go today that Sarah, who's singing here with Mike, has been serving us all summer as one of our youth interns. We're grateful for her service. She goes back to college. And Matthew Shoup. Is Matthew playing a 10? Is Matthew a 10? Okay. And Matthew, who's playing a 10, has also been our intern this summer. So say words of blessing on them as they go back to school. They have served us well all summer long. You might not have seen it if you don't have a teenager, but we are blessed by what they have done here. And now go forth and be a blessing. For God has given you this incredible power of speech. Use it to serve Him. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us as we do God's work in God's world today. Amen.